Praise God, it's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And we thank him for the opportunity. We had started looking at Acts chapter 16, and we were able to see how this aspect of becoming all things to all men, and we saw how Paul was not moving alone. Remember, he had just parted ways with Barnabas, and now he took Silas. And then as well, when he went to Lystra and he found Timothy, and Timothy was a disciple, that means he was not an unbeliever, and he circumcised him because Timothy was having a Greek father but had a Jewish mother and also grandmother. And remember, Paul gives us this analogy that I remember the faith that was in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I see that same faith lives in you. So when Paul circumcises him, it is not that he is circumcising him so that he should be saved. The Bible already tells us that he was a disciple, but he was doing it for the sake of the Jews in that region. And because Paul also wanted to reach the Jews, and he knew that it would be difficult for him and Silas and Timothy to reach the Jews if, in this case, then they are unable to do so because Timothy is not circumcised. So Paul becomes all things to all men that he might win some. And this is a principle that he applies in his life. And now today we are able to see now we are going to look at the Macedonian call, and it will be interesting to see how Paul is led by the Holy Spirit. And ideally, it's actually more of leading of the Holy Spirit and how we can sense and know when God is saying something and when God is needing us to move. Now, Acts chapter 16, verse 6, the Bible says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So, passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas." Now, I want just if we pause there, it will not make sense that you say that you want to go and preach. Remember the command of Jesus. The command of Jesus was that go forth into all the world and preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And imagine now you're trying to go and preach, and the Bible is telling us that the Holy Spirit said no, it forbid them. Now, and then again they came to Mysia and they tried to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus, if you look at King James, it puts it, the Spirit of Jesus, who is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, did not permit them. Now, someone will ask, but why is it that it is a contradiction that there is one message that we should go forth, but then there is also a forbidding to go? And this is something that we need to understand, that the Holy Spirit knows those people or the places that are ready to receive the gospel. You see, when Paul wanted to leave, he's told, "Stay here, I have many of my people in this city, and you shall preach to them." But then, when he wants to go to Asia, the Holy Spirit forbids them. Now, that tells you that God is the one that is the author of missions. He is the one that leads us in missions. He's the one that guides us to the harvest. Remember, Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That means that he knows those whose hearts he has prepared. You know, we often think that, oh, I preached to this person and they got born again. But the reality is we are actually just harvesting that which someone else planted. In many cases, these people, God has either been working on their hearts on their own, and they've been, let's say, they've been feeling they need to change their lives, and God has been working, and he was just looking for you to come and issue that word, issue that message. And at times you'll also find that there are people who don't get saved in one day. That means they go to church today. We call them seekers. They come, they attend service, or they start hearing the word, and daily encounters with you, interactions, even in situations that are not where you're communicating the gospel, just in daily interactions, until it gets to a point where they recognize that there is something different about you, and they get to ask, what is it that makes you you? So one of the things that you will learn as a believer or as a mission-minded believer is that you will learn that it is necessary to be led by the Spirit of God. Because when the Spirit of God leads you, He is able to direct you, He's able to guide you, He's able to lead you into the right harvest. Now, for me, what this speaks is that when the scripture says that everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial, it is speaking of what we are hearing here, that everything, yes, may be permissible. It might be right to do everything that we want to do according to scripture, but it does not mean that everything is permissible. There are things that God will resist us from doing. There are things that God will forbid us from doing. There are situations that God will not allow us to be involved in. Why? Because He knows that we are not ready either to face those situations or to face those conflicts. Remember, imagine when Paul says, look at, remembers he fought wild beasts in Ephesus. You know, when he later on in Acts 19, when he goes to Ephesus, he goes in the third missionary journey. So it is in a way that God had prepared that there was a time that he will go to Asia, and he later on goes to Asia and Bithynia, but it was not meant for this time. Now, one thing that you will also learn as you walk with Jesus is that you will learn that He has a spiritual language. The Holy Spirit has a language by which He communicates to us. I tell you, if you learn obedience to the Holy Spirit, there is a sensation that you will know that the Holy Spirit within you is happy. It might be a joy in your heart. It might be a burning of your spirit. And when you burn that, when you feel that fire, you might have that assurance that the Holy Spirit is happy with you. And it's something that you will learn as you walk with Jesus. And, you know, these signs might be different for individuals, but it is important that you be a student of the Holy Spirit within you. When the Bible says the anointing within you will teaches you all things, and you know all things, that means that as God starts to reveal certain spiritual signs to you that connect to your unique being, then you will start to associate. And you know, you can even be having a healing anointing within you, and you might not know that it is a healing anointing until God makes it known to you. Why? Because He will give you a sign, and through His education, you will know that when this sign happens, then that means that now I can heal the sick. Or it means that, oh, now I can start to prophesy, I can start to declare. And when you declare to people, then they receive that which you have declared. Why? Because God, the Holy Spirit, has confirmed to you that it is time. Now, likewise, also, it's just like the peace of God. And, you know, at times some people will ask, how do I know that God is leading me into doing something? One of the things that God leads us in is in His peace. Because the Bible tells us He leads us beside quiet waters. And He also says, and the peace of God shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, the peace of God is one of the ways that God leads us. Now, the peace of God does not necessarily mean that you have deadened your senses. You know, there are people who will deaden their conscience and say, no, I have peace. But that is because they have already silenced the voice of the Holy Spirit that is telling them that this is wrong. Now, when I speak of all this being led by the Holy Spirit, remember the foundation of being led by the Spirit of God is the word of God. So you cannot be say that you're being led by the Spirit for you to, you know, to commit adultery, and then you say, no, this is what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. But it is contradicting to the word of God. So the basic foundation of being led by the Spirit of God is the written word of God. So any leading that comes to us that contradicts the word of God is not of God. And whether we like it or not, whether we argue it, whether we explain it, anything that is contrary to the logos, contrary to the written word of God, is not of God. And that is why Jesus kept saying, it is written. It is written. It is documented. We must be clear about what God has already said, because God is not the author of confusion. He does not contradict himself. Now, just the other aspect of now being forbidden. Now, as you learn to walk with the Holy Spirit, you will also know when he is telling you no. Now, that could be either a disturbance in your spirit where you can feel that your heart is held, or you start to feel in a certain way that I need to get out of here, that there is danger coming. Now, these are signs that the Holy Spirit will speak to us. Now, someone explained it this way, that many times the communication of the Spirit of God will be 80% in signs and 20% in audible voices. So many times God will not necessarily speak to us in an audible voice, but there are certain signs that he will give us in our spirit, in our bodies, that connect to what he's asking us to do. And one of the, like, I mean, I can give an example. When God gives you a sign to heal, most of the time you'll hear evangelists will tell you that they have a burning in their hands, and they know by then that they can place their hands in that moment. And whoever they place their hands on the sick at that moment, when the anointing for healing has come, when the Holy Spirit has confirmed that now I'm ready to partner with you in this, then they can do it. And that is why Jesus used to say, I only do what I see my Father doing. That means that we are not just those that, oh, we want to do this, and just because you can do it does not mean that it is right to do it. And this is something that you have to understand when you walk with God, is that just because you are able to do it does not mean that you should do it. The question that you should be asking is, should I do, not can I do? And this is the difference between a believer that is mature in the things of the Spirit, one that is led by the Spirit of God, and one that is not led by the Spirit of God. And Romans 8:14 tells us that for they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And that sons of God is heirs, are the mature sons of God. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the mature sons of God. So God is looking for maturity. Now, Paul and his companions, they try. They wanted to go to Asia. The Holy Spirit forbade them. Then they wanted to go to Bithynia and Mysia, and the Spirit of Jesus does not permit them. But you see, God knew that there is a place they needed to go. And this is what we see in verse 9. The Bible says that, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, it is interesting to me that, and I've had many analogies of this, was it the Holy Spirit using the image of a Macedonian man to call Paul to come? Or was it that the Macedonians were praying or were desiring the truth? They were desiring to hear God, and that their prayer made a demand in the Spirit that Paul had to come to them. And it could be both ways, because I tell you, when people are hungry for a move of God, there is a way that God will use that hunger, will generate that hunger, and he will drive it to the man or the woman of God that needs to come and meet that need. And especially if that man or woman of God is sensitive and obedient, then they will come and meet that need. And it's something that you will realize that, especially where there is a gap in the kingdom of God, maybe it's a place that does not have a missionary, or a place that is lacking in certain things that will meet the needs of the gospel. God has a way. As those people pray over those needs, God will trouble someone that is supposed to meet that need. And then you will find that that person either will immediately respond and maybe either send money or send, you know, an answer. And then the person will be like, you are an answer to this. But then they had not told you. And this is why we always say, even when you have a need, it's not about, you know, going to ask people. But if you ask God, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, much more than all we can ask or for think. And God is able to meet the needs of his servants and able to create opportunities and touch people and touch the hearts of men to meet those needs. So this is something that you have to understand, especially for those who live a life where they depend on others to support them either for their mission work. At times I always say, speak to God, God will speak to people, and God will minister to the hearts of people, and the hearts of people will minister to their needs. Now, when we speak of Macedonia, you have to think of the churches that were in Macedonia. Now, in Macedonia, there was the Thessalonians, there were the Colossians, and there were the Philippians. There were three cities that were in Macedonia. If I got it correctly, there's the Thessalonians and also the Philippians. I think I'll picture the third one if I got it wrong. Yeah. Now, when we speak of these cities, it is unique that these are the cities that supported Paul the most in his ministry. Now, in as much as he was going to meet their need, the Bible also shows us that he also was supported greatly by going to these cities. And this is something that you will have to realize, that there is a way that God always balances things. That at times you think that you are the one who is going to support people, but then it is actually to meet your need that God is targeting. Now, when you think of how now Paul goes to Macedonia, he immediately is obedient and he immediately goes ahead to sort this. Let me just quickly check here. I wanted to check here the three cities that were in Macedonia. Yeah, it's Berea, Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. These are the three cities that were in Macedonia. And if you're a student of Bible, you will know that these were actually the churches that were ready for the word, that actually were an example. Thessalonica, if you read the letters to Thessalonians, there are no complaints that he has about the Thessalonians. He only just teaches them, you know, about how they need to know the end times, and they were being troubled by that. Think of the Philippians. He says, thank you for your giving. You know, that you people, that you ensured that you always sent for me help time and time again. And he says, and when he writes to the Corinthians, he tells them, I want to teach you of the grace that was in the Macedonian church. You know, that it was that they gave first of themselves to God, then to us. And out of the abundance, you know, out of their deep poverty, they gave as much as they were able to do, and even beyond what they were able to do. So there was something special about the people of Macedonia. You can think of the Bereans. The Bible tells us that they were more noble, you know, that they listened intently to what Paul said. And then later on, they went and read. They went and read and understood what is it that they were Paul was preaching to confirm. So we can see that it is something that God had prepared. And let's just look at verse 11 so that we can also see how God had prepared for him. The Bible says in Acts 16 verse 11, let me just go back to NKJV, yes. Okay, so the Bible says, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is now the Philippians, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. Verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. So you can think of how these missionaries are going to this city, and they have they most likely don't have a place to stay. They're just trying to find out and start the gospel. And their pattern is they went on the Sabbath to where people will go and pray by the river. And the Bible says they started speaking to the women who were there. And then there was a lady there called Lydia, a rich woman, a dealer in purple. That means in purple cloth. And you can imagine purple was for royalty. That means she was wealthy. But the Bible tells us she was a worshiper of God. That does not mean that she knew the God of Jesus. She knew Jesus Christ. But her heart was one that knew God and desired God and worshiped the unknown God. And when they preached to her, the Bible says the Lord opened her heart. And she received the gospel. And she said, well, if you believe me to be a believer, then come and stay at my place. And so, even if you see the end of that chapter, and this is after Paul and Silas come out from prison, which you shall see tomorrow, the Bible tells us, so they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. That is to show us that eventually a church was planted in the house of Lydia. And even the time when they are leaving this city, when they are leaving Philippi, then they leave from the house of Lydia. And this is really a ministry that, and the pattern of ministry that Jesus had said, that if you go to a city and you find a man of peace, do not leave that house. Fulfill, do your duties, do your ministry, do everything there in that house. Until the time when you leave. That's why also when you go to a new place and you find a church, don't leave that house. Stay in that house. Fulfill that ministry. Fulfill that, when you find that man of peace, fulfill that ministry that God has given you in that house of the man of peace. And then when you have done, then you can go and you go with the Lord. So what have we seen? There is a leading of the Lord when it comes to mission. There's a time when he will forbid us to go. There's a time when he'll allow us to go because the Holy Spirit knows the hearts. He knows where he has prepared. And I assure you, whenever you are in the will of God, you will find provision from God. God sponsors his agenda. It is one thing that you will have to learn. God sponsors his missions. God confirms where he needs you to be, but it is you to align to the agenda of heaven. Think of the angel of the Lord that came to Joshua. And Joshua asked, are you for us or against us? And the angel of the Lord said, neither. But as captain of the armies of the Lord, I have come. That means that if you stand against the work of God, God will destroy you. But if you align to the work of God, then the captains of the angels' armies are aligned to work with you. And I pray that God will give us sensitivity to his word, sensitivity to his voice, and let us be obedient to know that he does not command us, but he speaks in gentle voices. But there are moments where he has to hold us. Why? Because he knows that he needs you for ahead. He needs you for a future thing. He needs you. Even though you are stubborn, he needs you. And God can hold us in his mercy. I pray that God will give us wisdom and insight, and that we shall be more led and more available to hear the voice of God. I'll stop here, and you're welcome, my sister, as God leads you.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. Nothing to add from my side.
Okay, let us pray. Thank you. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us in a language that we understand. And I pray that we have clarity, the clarity of your voice, clarity to know what we need to do for today, for tomorrow, each and every moment. And indeed, as you have spoken, that it is you that knows the hearts of men. It is you that knows the hearts that are ready, the hearts that are ready to receive the gospel. I pray that you may order our steps. Even cause small changes, small confusions here and there that order us into the steps that we need to be in. Because when we are ordered of you, then we are directed, we are guided, and we are provided for, that we shall fulfill the kingdom agenda, that indeed our time shall not be wasted, but we shall look back and see and know that surely it was the Lord with us. It was not our effort. It was not us alone, but Lord, your presence guided and directed us. Be with us, provide for our needs, cover our children, cover those that are sick among us, that those that need your healing hand, be with them, O God, and let the peace of God rule in our hearts, direct us in all these things. We give you glory, honor, and adoration. Thank you for the grace to share today. I do not take it for granted. I say thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom. Blessed, blessed morning.